powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have you with me. What a delight it is to be on air. Sun's shining and there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel again. And the news in the last couple of days has been very encouraging for those in the sports environment like us. Four states around Australia have had days now where new cases across the weekend have been zero. Some states have had multiple days with zero cases, but WA, SA, Northern Territory and the ACT, just four states that have had zero movement in new cases over the weekend. The latest news this morning, Australia-wide, if you haven't heard, just 10 new cases. That's just 10 Australia-wide. Victoria does have three of the 10, but 10 Australia-wide. More restrictions are being relaxed by the day around Australia now, and that's both in the business sector and more pointedly, obviously, for this show. It's being opened up more in the sport and exercise sector by the day. Groups of 10 can now train together outdoors in Western Australia, which means personal trainers can get back to work and, you know, groups of 10 friends can get together and exercise. 10 friends chatting with spacing in a park. So how good's that for those people that are able to do that, given what we've been through in the last few weeks? And as we spoke about last week, WA has been talking about how local sport can get going for weeks. And so has South Australia as well. Queensland, where you've been able to play golf for weeks now, is now opening up activity opportunities for families as well to go and play in groups outdoors, have adventures, you know, allowing picnics, take the ball, breathe the air. You can ride a motorbike. You can you know, get your jet ski out. You can go boating in Queensland in a few days. Shopping even for non-essential, yet non-essential items is back on the agenda. So you can go browse the shops, beaches, open in many parts of Australia. You know, Townsville, for example, has had 16 days without a coronavirus case in Townsville. So they're thinking about how their cafes and bars and restaurants can be opened with distancing. And the Northern Territory, I'm sure that people haven't seen this story, but the front page of Northern Territory newspaper today is talking about, in June, gyms opening up. So the ability for people to go to the gym again in June in the Territory. That's the front page of the Northern Territory newspapers today. So, and they've actually quoted it in the newspaper today in that newspaper article as it being the new normal. In fact, I'll read it to you. On the ABC this morning, Chief Minister Michael Gunner has said that he's looking to gradually transition to this new normal in June when coronavirus restrictions, including those imposed on businesses, cafes, clubs and gyms, are expected to be relaxed. Essentially, the new normal will be in place during June. Now, I know that's the Territory, but, you know, every state's tackling it as they want to tackle it. We're tackling it how we want to tackle it here in Victoria. But, yeah, it's looking like the horizon is brighter than it's been for quite a while. That's the new normal. People free to do more, get out, work, exercise, free their minds and souls, which is pretty good for people's mental health as well. And, you know, you can do your preferred cathartic activity. But some sport. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. Wouldn't mind having a chat to you about, as I mentioned with Jared, Gil McLaughlin. Major sports, professional sports are now putting their plans in place. Things that were just ideas and optimistic possible options 3 weeks ago are now actually going to happen. AFL hubs actually look like happening. Greg Swan, the CEO of the Brisbane Lions, is going to be on in about 15 minutes from now, hopefully to tell us what a Queensland hub might actually look like, to answer the questions that quite a few people are asking right now at Clubland. But people have shown their real colours in this past month. The real person has been laid bare for all of us to see and hear from, you know, our Prime Minister down and Donald Trump, if you want to include him, all the leaders of various countries and the leaders of sports organisations. So a quick straw poll. Gil McLaughlin, has Gil gone up or down in your approval rating? Has he gone up in your estimation based on his and the AFL's handling of this last month? Because there was an article on the news in the newspaper on the weekend suggesting that he needs to now stay through to the end of 2021 at least. To me, Gil McLaughlin has proven one of the very best sports administrators we've had in this country. And yes, I've been a Gill fan for a while, but in the wake of the sackings and arguments about mismanagement in other sports, Super Rugby could be dead. That's a report in the Australian today. The Super Rugby could be done and dusted. So many different arguments in other sports, and some other sports, you know, on at the moment, a difficult situation that they might not be able to open up. Gill's probably now stood out better in people's estimation than ever in comparison. Or has he? Because that's up to you. 1-300-736-736. He's always been a polarising character. Those that have always disliked him probably still dislike him and would take every chance to ridicule him. But that's your option. 1-300-736-736 is the number. I do know people who would rather football failed so they could whack Gill rather than have football be brilliant and have to praise him. That's their worst fear, that they'd have to praise him. But your calls, Gill, prover rating up, all-time high, 1-300-736-736 is the number. Greg Swan, Alistair Lynch, your calls on local sport as well. We'll talk local sport a little bit later on, and kids sport as well. Kids back at school in most states, because kids playing with kids is not a health threat, according to the experts. So it's just the adults that are the issue. So if kids don't need to have social distancing in the classroom or the playground, then kids can play sport. It's just the parents that are the issue. So we'll have a chat about that a little bit later on. But Gill, 1-300-736-736, the open line for Werribee Kia, staying open to help Victorians through this. Is Gill's approving rating, in your mind, at an all-time high? Dean and Elwood, welcome to you, Dean.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Mate, look, I just think he's gone way up. I mean, I had some question marks in the last couple of years, but to see how tired he was, see the hours he had to put in as it was constantly changing. And if you contrast, and we always go to NRL first, and just the arrogance and the complete sort of mismanagement that you saw from up there compared to the AFL, I thought he handled himself really well. And even the interview on 360 where Mark Robinson asked him a really stupid question, you know, you think he'd be at the end of his rope, but he's very professional, and I think he carried himself really well through the period, you know.
Yeah, I don't like whacking other journos for the way they go about their business, but, yeah, even I looked at that and thought, oh, my goodness, surely there was something better and more positive and constructive to be asking Gill than that. Thanks a lot for your call, Dean. Really appreciate it. Phil in Bayswater, your thoughts on Gill?
G'day, Dwayne. Mate, on financial KPIs alone, he is without peer. So Peter Volandis has to force that rugby league to come back because they are financially shot. They've got no liquidity. They've got nothing at all. Gill can strategically make the right decisions because he's financially managed the AFL perfectly. I think the presidents have done a good job lining up behind him. And he's without peer. Rugby's broke. Cricket's gone. Rugby league's got to force it. On KPIs alone, Dwayne, he is head and shoulders above everyone else.
I think he really has a feel for the supporter base as well. Phil, I think he does have an understanding of what the supporter base requires and what the community requires from him. I think he realises that sport, that football is not just about sport, it's about where it leads in the community too. And there's been a few that have whacked him over time for his stance on, you know, things like homophobia. But there has been a situation, I think, in this last month alone where he's kind of tried to do the right thing for footy, but also try to lead as a community leader as well, Phil.
Yeah, I think he's super connected, Dwayne. I think his heartbeat is really in tail with the grassroots. The rank and file, I think he gets them 100%. And I think that's the great thing that Gill's done. He absolutely understands what the constituents want at the right time. And it makes it easy to portray your message if you're in bed with the constituents and we walk hand in hand. So, mate, I couldn't agree more. He's done a super job.
Thanks, Phil. I really appreciate your call. Dave in Richmond, Gill, his approval rating all-time high?
I think so. I wasn't a fan of him before, but he's never panicked at any stage throughout this. He's led by with the pay cuts for himself, and then really being firm with the players, saying that everything is going to have to change, and hasn't been like that Peter Vlandy guy from the NRL who's been so desperate to get back on the field and at the risk of potentially everyone's health. But now, as we were seeing this morning, there's hardly any infections left in the country. I think we're down about 1,000 out of about 7,000, so. But definitely, it's not just him. I think the whole country's done an amazing job with this, really, apart from the few idiots floating about.
Yeah, I agree with you. The whole country has done a good job, and that's why we're, you know, looking at it so optimistically now to have football back. I reckon Gill, in many respects, deep down, I think Gill has been as desperate as Peter Vlandis to get football going. but he just has had a better understanding as to how publicly to force that push. You know, I think he realised that he needed to go hand in hand with the government and the health officials and work through it that way, as opposed to Peter Vlandy's, you know, naming the date and just saying we're going ploughing ahead to that date. But as I said a week ago, actually, in some ways, I don't mind Peter Vlandy's naming that date because he wasn't afraid of naming a date and then having to go back on it and saying, okay, we didn't achieve this date, I was wrong. And I kind of admired that fearlessness because it allowed his players that were looking at this big unknown factor to have a date to aim to. And that's what Damien Hardwick addressed as well in the last 24 hours. A date to aim to was pretty important, I think, for the mental health and the fitness process of the players as well. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate your call. Adam in Wantirna. Gill, all-time high.
G'day, Dwayne. Dwayne, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Can't agree with you. I think he's in a tough spot, but for me, his indecisiveness with round one and the fact that he almost, it seems to me, he almost waited for someone else to make the call on whether the game would go ahead and or crowds would be there, to me, shades his leadership somewhat.
Yeah, I suppose at that stage, I read it that he was saying to the government and saying to the health officials, tell me why we can't. And now, since then, he's saying to them, tell me why we can. So I got his mindset back then. I think he wanted to get football at least rolling. You know, I think he wanted to wait until the moment came that he couldn't because of the government and health officials. And I think that didn't come until a couple of days into round one. I was supportive of his move to play in round one. And as I've mentioned a few times, you know, these situations have evolved so quickly by the day that a decision you make today based on the parameters of today that might seem 100% right can change within hours. And I think it did change on Gill mid-round. Then he shut it down when he had to. Jason in Mount Gambier. Welcome to you, Jason.
Yeah, Dwayne, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Mate, I want to learn to know more about this hub. I'm just so confused that why do we need to have these hubs and have these players isolated when, you know, can't they get exemptions to go into state like truck drivers and that? They're going to work. So
yep.
I just can't get my head around why they're so focused on having hubs.
I think they want to try and make sure that they're not trying to get around the parameters that are left in place by the states in terms of their travel and quarantine restrictions. But I can see maybe hubs being planned and then we get 3 or 4 weeks down the track now and hubs aren't required in some respects because the flattening of the curve is almost to the point that it's dead flat. And there's an article in one of the New South Wales papers today, one of the Sydney papers, saying that under the current restrictions, it's easier to travel. It's going to be easier to travel from Sydney to New Zealand than it is to travel from Sydney to Queensland, which is a rather ridiculous situation if we have that. So I can see, Jason, that we might not even need hubs, but I think they're trying to, I mean, the hub, and Patrick Dangerfield painted this picture. He actually admitted the first thing he thought of was a 4x4 room with no windows. But if you actually have a think about it, you know, if a hub was sending players to, you know, a golf course resort near Carrara, near the Gold Coast ground at Metricon Stadium, and you stay in this exclusive golf course resort in Queensland for 3 weeks, you play footy, you take your golf clubs, you take your wife and kids if you want, you swim in the resort pool, you let your wife and kids dine in the five-star restaurant, you get your room service, you wake up with a fruit platter. It's a little bit different. So we need to find out what these hubs are like, because that's why we've got Greg Swan in about 10 minutes' time. We'll try and find out in about 10 minutes' time exactly what the hubs might look like, because they are, I think, remodelling it, or at least trying to give the players an understanding that it's not going to be a 4x4 room with no window. It's actually going to be an opportunity for you to breathe the air and you know, have an opportunity to live a pretty good life whilst playing football, with some exclusive benefits that the majority of Australia won't be getting. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate your call. Colin in Geelong. Gill, all-time high. Welcome to you.
I think he's dropped the ball a little bit in comparison to Vlandy. So I think Vlandy's, sure, the NRL are struggling financially, but the AFL just took out a loan for $600 million as well. It's not like they're flying either, are they? So I think Vlandy's, like you've pointed out, Dwayne, he's got a little bit more ambition and he's out there and he's having a go. And people just want to knock him for it. It's just sort of like an AFL versus an NRL thing. And I think Gill's just sort of lost, you know, he's trying to be do everything by the book sort of thing. And I think in a case like this, I think maybe having a little bit of ambition might have helped him along the way. So.
I reckon he's got that deep down. I just think that he's trying to move in step with the government and the health officials openly, outwardly, in front of the public, whereas Peter Vlandis was a bit more gung-ho. But as I've said, I agree with you on Peter Vlandis. I think there is a bit of an AFL versus the NRL and a willingness to whack Peter Vlandis in the NRL when all he was being, and Damien Harvey's quote was, aspirational leader in giving a date. And I think, you know, I said it off the top, I admire the fact that he wasn't scared of naming a date, and if he had to change it, well, he just had to change it. But at least he gave his player something to aim at. Thanks for your call, Colin. Graham, Heidelberg, Gill or Tom High?
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good,
I think the contrast couldn't be any more stark with the two codes in the way that they've dealt with their broadcast. And I'll use the term partners. I can't ever imagine Foxtel and Channel 7 reacting in the way that Channel 9 did to the announcement of the date and everything by the NRL. The way that Gill engages with the broadcast partners is much more inclusive compared to how the NRL has done it over the past few months.
I agree with that 100%, Graham. That is one of the great things that Gill has done, and that is working hand-in-hand with the broadcast partners and not making it look as if there was a fight between the parties to try and get the game back on TV, because that's the critical part. I mean, right through this, the partnerships that we have are the things that are going to get us through it. Every business out there has a partnership with its customers, and you want your customers back. And Gill's customers are Fox and Channel 7 and the patrons, and he's tried to work hand in hand with the members and the broadcast partners as well, as they've tried to work in with him. Take a break. More of your calls after at 1-300-736-736. I do reckon Gill's approval rating is at an all-time high. He's handled it brilliantly. And I'll read out a few of your texts and take a few more of your calls after the break. And Greg Swan, Brisbane Lions CEO, to tell us more about what the hubs might look like.